Today I want to share with you out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 8 down through 20. Maybe we're going to look at something just a little bit different today. I want us to look at the shepherds, maybe in a little bit different way than we've looked at them in the past. I want us to consider why it was that God chose using the shepherds to announce the good news. Why did he choose this group of people to announce the good news? One thing I know I've found as I read the Bible and study it, I found that God has a tendency, at least it sure seems like it, to not quite always do things the way that we think they ought to be done or that we would have done them ourselves. You know? We sometimes go one direction, but he's got a completely different thing. And so when it comes to the Christmas story, once again, God does something that is totally, totally different from what the wise people would have done, the knowing people would have done back in Jesus' day. Because he did something different from how this Messiah was going to come. Amen? He did something different as to who he was going to look like. He did something different from how he was even going to announce it to the whole wide world. Stop and think about this. Just ask yourself this question. If you were God back then, you get to elevate yourself a little bit momentarily. How would you announce Jesus' birth? Anybody? Who would you have told it to? Kings, Caesar, the press corps. Yeah. Yeah. You want to get it out there. And see, the Jews were looking for, what were the Jews looking for? They were looking for a Messiah, but they were looking for this mighty warrior type to come, kind of a warrior like David, pretty strong king, and somebody who was going to lead them as a nation and lead them as even their religion out of corruption, lead them away from this foreign domination that they had by the Romans. So they're looking for this warrior king, if you will. And God's idea, though, of the Messianic deliverer is just a little bit different, isn't it? Because he doesn't send Jesus to come and be born in some royal palace. He could have done that, but he didn't. Instead, he sends Jesus, who is born out of the house of David, to come and deliver his people. He is going to deliver. But it wasn't going to be a political deliverance, and it wasn't going to be a military-type deliverance, was it? Amen? He was coming to do what? To set the captives free, just like it was prophesied in Isaiah 61. Jesus came to set the captives free. So, if you will, go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to read through verses 8 through 20 again. We've already read through them once, but I think well worth it. It said, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their flocks and keeping watch out in the fields, and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to them one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which they had been told about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying God about all that they had heard and seen just as had been told them. Kind of, can you picture that? You know, I heard, you know, some people would say, you know, we'll tell it to the press corps. Boy, who needs a press corps when you've got the heavenly chorus to come? When the angels came, and don't you know they belted that one out, glory to God in the highest. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Amen. I mean, that would have really been something. Well, I want us to look at this and think about it today in the context of all the verses that we just looked at, along with, you know, what we've read about the Christmas story in the past. Because here's Mary and Joseph, and they had come to Bethlehem for a reason. What was the reason they had come? Anybody? To be counted, to be the census taking, the taxing. And it was a mandatory one. And this town's really crowded. So Mary and Joseph get here to Bethlehem, and they find out there's no place to stay in one of the nicer holiday inns of their day. And this nice innkeeper, he says, no, there's no room at my inn, but you can use my stable. Boy, doesn't that sound wonderful? Most of us have never thought about the kind of stable that Jesus was born in. This thing is nice, you know, because most of the stable was nothing more than a cave that had been carved out of a hill in most places. And they threw in some straw, and then the animals kind of congregated in there. So I got a feeling it wasn't quite it probably didn't smell very good. How many of y'all ever been around animal barns? Do they smell good? Yeah, especially the ones that have been disinfected if they're having dairies and stuff like that. But they've got this animal smell, don't they? Yeah. So here's Mary and Joseph, and they placed the baby in the feeding trough, basically, for the manger. This was the bed. No nice neonatal ward with doctors and nurses running around all over the place. No electronic monitors watching all baby Jesus' vitals. No climate-controlled room. No soft recliner for Joseph to sit in so he can sit there and watch the television while the baby is being properly cared for. Instead, they're in a stable. It's dark. They don't even have nice lighting. And this is the place where the Son of God, baby Jesus, has been born. The King of Kings, born in a stable. The Lord of Lords, born in the stable. Or like it says in Revelation, the one who's at whose name every knee is going to bow. Born in a stable. Right? Wow. What a way for a king to come on the scene. Then as we think about this, and God does this thing really weird. He's got these shepherd characters. And he's going to tell the whole entire world through this group of men out there on the hills. So he sends this major birth announcement, heavenly coded, if you will, with angelic boldness, where the angels are going to proclaim it. And the angels stand there and they stand before him, and they go, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Don't we so much need that peace today? All over this world. Don't you know that the folks up in Connecticut could use a good dose of this peace? And that peace is available to anyone. To everyone. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I found it interesting that, you know, as you read through this, and, you know, my thoughts went the same way as most of y'all's. Why didn't God tell the kings? Why didn't he tell the Caesar? Why didn't he tell old King Herod? I mean, these were the guys that would have really made sure that everybody heard about it. They would have put their messengers out there, and they would have scattered the countryside telling. But instead, God has his angel, the messenger, come to this group of men out there on a hill, sheep herders outside of Bethlehem, and tells him that his son's been born. Wow. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why shepherds? If you haven't, let's kind of, we'll think through this. I think there's actually a couple of good reasons why God chose shepherds to be the bearers of the good news. And we're going to look at those because I'll tell you, first, one reason is going to challenge us a little bit, but I think the other reason is going to really encourage us. The first thing that we see is because the message came to the shepherds, God's given us a look, folks. He's given us a look at what the ministry of Jesus Christ is going to be. He's given us a glimpse of what it's going to be in the future. See, Jesus is the one who's called the Messiah, is he not? Amen? But what else is he called? Doesn't the Bible also call him the Good Shepherd? John chapter 10. And so we see a glimpse in the fact that God used shepherds. We see a glimpse of the ministry to which Jesus is actually coming. The other thing that I think is so cool about this is because God chose to use shepherds to bring the good news, he used common, everyday, common folk, just like you and me. Now, is that cool? I don't think a one of them had a PhD or an MDiv or a baccalaureate or probably didn't even have a high school diploma. Amen? And God chose to use those humble men out there to be his messengers. And I like that. What about you? Do you like that? The fact that God used common everyday folk to be part of his purpose. So when we consider the shepherds, this group of people, wow, you go, you know what? Maybe God might use me for something. Maybe God might let me tell somebody about the hope that's in his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? One of the things also I found really cool is you go back and you study a little bit about, it's particularly come up out of the Old Testament. I think Old Testament studies are really good, but as you go through the Old Testament, one of the things you find out is so many of the leaders and the kings and the important people of the Old Testament that dealt with and led Israel all either were shepherds or had a background of shepherding. There has to be a reason. You take Moses, his burning bush experience, if you will. What was he doing when he saw the burning bush? He's watching the flock. He's shepherding Jethro's flocks. Isn't that cool? And God called to him as a shepherd. So here's Moses, a shepherd himself. And Moses is called by God to be part of what God is getting ready to do in the lives of his people, who's in bondage down there in Egypt. They've been crying out. I mean, millions of them. They've been crying out. And God sent a deliverer, a shepherd, turned Moses, turned deliverer. In fact, it's said that Moses is what they call a type of Jesus to come. He's a picture of the Christ to come, of the Messiah. Because he's going to deliver his people. Amen? And I think it's kind of cool. God uses this man, Moses, to go and deliver the people into the promised land. Move a little bit later on in history, and we find David, don't we? Here's old King David. He was a young guy once upon a time, before we read a lot of the stuff, of over in the Chronicles and in books of Samuel. What was he doing as a young guy when we first start to read about him? Yeah, he's out there watching his daddy's flocks. Wow, another shepherd guy. And God takes the shepherd boy, and what does he use him for first? What's one of the first things we know about David? What's one of the first things that we think about when we think David? David and Goliath. Shepherd boy with his little slingshot. And he's going to go out there and he's going to knock down the giant. He's going to deliver Israel. Amazing. Huh. And David then becomes one of the greatest kings, one of the greatest rulers that Israel had ever known, didn't he? And God even gave this man a title. He said, "You're a man after my own heart." Wow. Then if we come on into the New Testament time, we have Jesus. Jesus himself calls himself the Good Shepherd, didn't he? In John chapter 10, starting in verse 11, he said, "I am the Good Shepherd." And that's pretty plain. It was a rather blunt statement. He said the guy that's the hired one and not a shepherd, not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and what does he do? Runs off, takes off. And the wolf comes, and the wolf scatters the sheep. He said he flees because he's just a hired hand, and he doesn't care about the sheep. The Lord said, "I am the Good Shepherd." He said, "I know my own." Amen. So out there on this hillside, here are these shepherds, and I think this is part of the reason why God chose to use shepherds. Here are these shepherds who just received the good news. You know what is so cool too? And somebody mentioned to me after the first service, they said, "Pastor, one of the things that we saw that was really cool," said, "it hit us. The shepherds didn't go and run when they heard the angels really hollering and carrying on." What would we have done? What's our first impulse? Run like the dickens, right? But they stayed there. They didn't run. And so they get the message to take out to other people. So here's these lowly shepherds, and they're the first ones to hear that the long-awaited deliverer has come. Don't you know that the religious scholars were all upset? They told the shepherds, "I mean, we're the ones, we've been reading about this. We've been teaching about this." I wonder if some of the people that are so hung up in teaching about prophecy these days are going to be a little upset when the Lord comes back. Hard to tell, isn't it? It's not supposed to be sensational, is it? It's supposed to be factual. It's the real thing. Amen? We should be telling the good news. So here the shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. And we can really say that, you know what? God's people are probably an awful lot like sheep. Would you say so? I mean, that's what he calls us, doesn't he? He calls us a flock. He calls us sheep. And maybe that's the reason why I think that's the reason why Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." I think it's also one of the reasons why God chose shepherds to go ahead and bring this good news. Personally, I think Jesus really had his job cut out for him, especially as we read the Bible. Because, I mean, he was really having to chase after these sheep all the time, his sheep. And they needed constant, sheep are, it's just the way they are, it's their nature. They need a lot of care, they need a lot of attention. Jenny and I are constantly watching our neighbor's sheep get out, and they will go wandering across the yard. And if one of the other neighbor's dogs comes running through the yard, all of a sudden it's kind of like, "Oh my gosh!" You know, never mind the dog's been making noise the whole time, you know, but oh my gosh, startled. It's like, how did this thing came upon me? I didn't know it was there. You know, sheep are one of these things, you know, if you leave them alone, they'll find a hole in the fence and go walking right on through. And so if trouble doesn't come and find them, they go and find trouble themselves. That's just the way they are. Kind of sounds, unfortunately, it does sound too much like us today. If they're not watched over, did you realize that a sheep will sit there and eat itself until it's sick? It just sits there and eats and eats and eats and eats. A shepherd, that's why the shepherds move them after a while. And it's not to move them always to fresh pasture, but it's because they will. They'll just sit there and eat themselves until they get sick. They've let something sneak up on them, and then all of a sudden, whoa, scared. And they'll also do this other thing where the dumb sheep, the lead sheep, goes wandering off. What do the rest of them do? They follow, like, "Oh. Oh, you just went over the hill. Okay. You went over the hill." They just do this. It's like follow them. And they're a little stubborn. So here's the Lord. He's going to bring his sheep, work to bring his sheep back into the fold. But something else that we know about sheep, and I mean, if they hadn't been shepherds, I don't think we'd have known all about this stuff, but what is Jesus also known for? He's called the Lamb of God, isn't he? He himself is the Lamb of God, because he's going to be the one that does the sacrifice. He's going to sacrifice himself for his sheep, for you and me. Amen. He's going to lay his life down for his sheep, because he's not the hireling. You know, if Jesus had been the hireling, so much for salvation, because he would have been, you know, he told what does the hireling do? He runs. He packs it and runs. He said, man, the cost is too high. I'm out of here. But Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life even for his sheep to protect them. And Jesus did, he did that for us, folks. He really did. He came and he became the lamb that took away our sin. At Christmas, this being Christmas time, I think this is an ideal time for us to say to God, thank you so much for your gift of Jesus Christ. Because he came to take away my sin. It wasn't just to give me a bunch of Christmas presents. It wasn't to create a holiday that we could celebrate. He came to lay down his life for you, for me. Let's take a moment and just tell God thank you. Amen. Let's go ahead and tell God thank you this morning for sending his son as that precious gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. The other thing, I want to close up with this part. And I think this is the encouraging part. See, God uses, it just tends to always use very common people. I don't know whether that's because maybe they're just available. I think personally that it's because they're not only available. I think also it's because they are common, they have to rely on God. They have to let God do through them rather than trying to do it out of their strength or out of their abilities. Amen? You know, and as we think about shepherds and we go back to New Testament time, one of the things that I've noticed is it is so easy for us to sit there and look at beautiful nativity scenes. You guys have too. I mean, we've all seen beautiful nativity scenes. And if you pick up the pieces and you pick up the shepherds, they're clean. They don't stink. They got beautiful, clean-cut faces. I mean, even with the beards, they're still clean-cut, aren't they? They're not kind of grubby. And they sure don't smell like sheep. But here are these shepherds. And that's really not who they were, because they weren't cute. These guys were pretty hardy. They weren't clean cut. They didn't wear the Gucci's and all the other fancy, nice clothes. They didn't have nice wristwatches, did they? At best, they were probably social outcasts of their society. They just didn't fit in too well. And part of it had to do with the fact that they were mobile. They were constantly moving their sheep from one pasture area to another. They were kind of nomads, if you will. And they just didn't live like the Jewish folk did in town. Pulling it into our 21st century, a shepherd would be completely out of place in any of our hometowns and our villages. Amen. These guys would have been completely out of place. They didn't have the nice 9-to-5 job. They worked 24/7. And they didn't have anybody to come in and spell them. They weren't like our neighbors down the street who had the 2- or 3-car garage and a nice swimming pool and maybe a real nice gas-fired barbecue grill on the back porch. They were wanderers. They didn't have that nice home. At best, they looked up at the sky, and that was their home. That was the roof over their head. And maybe if it rained, they might have a tent or some type of something they could crawl in under. And their society didn't have a whole lot of room for folks like that. You know what? They really didn't. I don't think our society's got a whole lot of room for folks like that either. Amen? They're not clean, they didn't smell good, and they just didn't quite fit in. Of course, I guess I wouldn't smell good if I slept with sheep either. On top of that, they were even kind of outcast from their own religion, their own hope. They were called unclean. And it wasn't because they were shepherds. It was because they weren't able to do all of the rituals and all of the feasts and everything that identified a Jew as a clean Jew. They couldn't do all of that because what are they doing? They're moving most of the time. They're moving around with their flocks. And God sends a message to them. And he says, do not be afraid. For behold, the angels didn't come and say, shepherds, guess what? We don't like you. You stink. You're unclean. No, we're not going to give you the message. You are hopeless. We're going back into town. He said, no. The message is for you, for all mankind. Praise God. They were really totally outcast from their religion, from the society and everything. I can't imagine, I guess, if a shepherd showed up, I mean a real shepherd, showed up in the temple, he would probably get the look. Oh, pew. Go away. Get out of here. You're dirty. Go away. You're unclean. You don't belong in here. This is our church. It's clean. We don't want dirty people. Go get yourself cleaned up before you come back in here again. Amen? I think there's a lesson in that too. I think we need to be careful about who we tell is dirty and needs to get out of our church. Amen? The angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory shone all around. That tells me that these dudes, they were special people to have that message come to them, you know? And God said, here's the good news. I don't have bad news. I don't have condemnation. I'm bringing good news. I'm not here to intimidate you. I want you to have this good news that brings great joy. Amen? Great joy. Not a little joy. Great joy. And he said, for unto you in that town, the town of the city of David, the Savior has been born. And I know they had to start getting excited. So God used these common, everyday folk to be his messengers. He wants to use you and me to be his messengers today. To be the messengers of hope. You know, maybe you're here today and maybe you can relate a little bit to shepherds, you know? Maybe you can relate to shepherds. And you go, you know what? I am kind of common. I am kind of everyday. But I have hope because of what Jesus did for me. He came for me. He died for me so that my sins could be forgiven. And I have the greatest, best news story that I can share with somebody else. Will you commit to taking that news out into your neighborhood this week? You know, if some of you are going to go back into your workplaces this week, and you're going to have an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ, because somebody's going to open their mouth and they're going to talk about Connecticut. You've got an opportunity to tell them about the good news, the hope that they really have, the joy that they can receive in Jesus Christ. Common folk with a good news package. Let's share it. Amen. Father, thank you so much that you did it your way and not man's way. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving us. And thank you for giving us that same message of hope. Lord, there may be somebody that in our service, one of our services today, or who will hear the message on the internet, who's seeking for that hope. I would pray that today would be the day that you would call them and invite them to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord, so their sins can truly be forgiven, so that they truly will have a life eternal, that they will have that hope, they will have that joy. There's no better gift. Thank you so much, Lord, that you gave this gift of your Son. So Father, if there are any decisions that need to be made this morning, any prayer that is needed, I just lift this up to you, Father, and may we just respond. And may we be encouraged that you really did. You chose ordinary people to bring this very blessed announcement. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.